puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Oh, how I've missed the sound of that theme tune. Gordon Goldsborough is here now with Abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia. Welcome back.
Thank you. So I wasn't here for last week's clue. What was it?
Well, we're going to talk today about the Manitoba towns of Cowenda, Mandan, St. Louis, and more. And I suspect you've never heard of any of them, but they're not ghost towns.
All right. Why not?
Well, before we delve into today's topic, I think it would be useful to say just a few words about the practice of toponymy. Toponymy is the study of place names. And here in Manitoba, the provincial government published a book back in 2000 about Manitoba place names. It was my go-to source from this subject. Now, it isn't perfect by any means, but I relied heavily on it for today's conversation. So those three names, Cowenda, Mandan, and St. Louis, are the former names of towns that are better known today as Oakville, Sanford, and Petersfield, respectively.
Okay, so then why do town names change?
There's a lot of reasons. You know, one, for example, is to avoid having two places with the same name.
Such as?
Well, when the Canadian Northern Railway passed through the area southeast of Portage-la-Prairie in the late 1880s, it established a station that it called Oakville. But Canadian postal officials were not keen on the name because they thought it would cause confusion with, of course, Oakville, Ontario, a much larger place. So the post office at Oakville was called Cowenda. Supposedly, it's an Ojibwe word that means no name. You know, honestly, I don't quite know why you'd have to name a place no name. But well, there you have it. Incidentally, I've also heard three pronunciations, Cowend, Cowenda, and Cowendi. So take your pick. Well, anyway, for nearly 50 years, the railway station was Oakville and the post office was Cowenda. But everything became Oakville in 1939.
Okay. And what about, remind me how to pronounce this, Mandan?
Right. Yep.
And there were two of those as well?
Yes, but not both in Canada. So, for example, the post office of Mandan, located southwest of Winnipeg, it opened in 1900 with a name that was taken from the post office in North Dakota. And that post office, in turn, was named for the indigenous people of that region. The name of the station here in Manitoba changed to Sanford in 1906, and that synchronized it with a new Canadian Northern Railway station there. But there are conflicting stories for where Sanford came from, where they got the name. One is that it commemorates a Canadian senator named William Eli Sanford, and he drowned in 1899, so that maybe they thought it would be a nice way to just commemorate him. Another is that it recognizes the sandy banks of the LaSalle River that occurs at Sanford, you know, so that if you crossed or forded the river there, it would be a sand ford. And some people think it recognizes a Canadian engineer, Sanford Fleming. But, you know, honestly, I don't think this is a terribly likely possibility because Fleming was associated with the CPR, not the CNR.
And what about Petersfield?
Well, again, it's a sort of a creature of the railway. A CPR station opened at this site. It's northwest of Selkirk. And they named it for a businessman by the name of Louis St. Louis. And he established a town here, served as its first postmaster, but he died in 1909. And just to show you how sometimes fame or place names can be fleeting, only 8 years later, they renamed it. And we don't know why. We don't know what the new name represented. So some people think that Petersfield was the English home of an early settler in the region. But an alternate explanation that I kind of like is that it was named for a local farmer named Peter Sinclair. And so therefore, you could say that his was Peter's field.
Kind of does make sense. What's another example of a name change?
Well, in 1878, a company was formed to settle the area of Western Manitoba that at that time lay beyond the western boundary of the province. A town was planned to be called St. Clair. However, supposedly because this duplicated the name of a town in Minnesota, and there actually are other St. Clairs too, they changed it to Bertel. But not surprisingly, there are numerous explanations for the basis of that name. So one is that it was a contraction of the Bird Tail River that flows nearby. Bird Tail became Birtle. But that might be simply a coincidence. So Birtle was settled predominantly by English people, and Birtle is the name of a town and a relatively common surname in northern England. Other people think that Birtle may have been the name of an early traveler or a settler in the Birtle region. There are lots of opinions, but no actual documentation. In other words, nobody really knows for sure why it was called Birtle.
And why do you think that is? Like, why do you feel that people don't really know the basis for a name applied when, you know, relatively recently, and I'm saying that as a Brit, you know, they were just kind of applied, say, 100 years ago?
Right. You know, you'd think that in that short a time, we wouldn't have lost track of why a name was applied. You know, it's, I think I would ascribe it to poor record keeping about the basis for place names. You know, and it surprised me, but it's so true, especially when we have a place that has an indigenous name, that the basis for those names is simply lost to memory. So an example of a place like this is the town of Sipawiski. That was the original name for the town of Wawanisa. And it is said to have come from a Cree word that meant crooked river. And that kind of fits because it Wawanisa sits beside the meandering Souris River. But it could also refer to another indigenous word that means wild goose nest. Well, whatever the reason, whatever the basis for the name, it changed. And the reason was the people in Sipawiski didn't like that name, especially if they were a teetotaler, because they thought it sounded too much like Sip of Whiskey. And of course, if you don't believe in drinking, you certainly don't want to live in a place called Sip of Whiskey. But, you know, the funny thing is that opinions vary on the meaning of the present town name. In other words, what does Wawanisa mean? Some people think it derives from a Cree word that means beautiful vista. But another possibility is it's a Sioux word that means place of no snow.
Has a name change ever been motivated by difficult spelling?
Oh, yeah. You know, an example is in southeastern Manitoba. We had the post office of Shevchenko that opened in 1907, and it was named in honor of Ukrainian poet Taras Shevchenko, a very prominent guy. There's a monument here in town for him, but it was not always spelled by the anglicized version of the name. You know, we often spell it Shev, S-H-E-V, Chenko, C-H-E-N-K-O. But in this case, the post office in southeastern Manitoba was spelled S-Z-E-W-C-Z-E-N-K-O. You know, for an Anglophone, not an easy spelling. And in fact, I think the railway thought so too, because when the CN arrived in this part of the province, 1908, I think they just thought, oh, can't spell that one. So they changed the name to Vita, the Latin word meaning life. As you might imagine, the local people were not very pleased because they had named it after their, you know, a national hero, and they were inflamed by this perceived insult, and so they demanded that the railway change it back. Well, they were summarily ignored, and we have Vita with us still today.
I'm just thinking of all the name changes that might have to take place in Wales if it came down to difficult spelling. That's another story. Are there any other name changes?
Oh my, we could go on all day, but you know, I'm just going to wrap up this conversation with just a few more quick examples. So we have, for example, Boisevain. It used to be known as Cherry Creek. Holland, the town of Holland, was Burnaby. Oak Lake was Flat Creek. One of my personal favorites is the town of Sperling. It used to be known as Mariposa. I just love that name, Mariposa. It just sounds so musical. Or Domain was Shaunawan, and Dugald, Sunnyside. Doesn't that sound like a pastoral place to live?
Yes.
Sunnyside.
Heavenly. Gordon, thank you for this. What's the clue for next week?
Well, next week we're going to talk about a class of building that was associated with local small-scale manufacturing. And in the case of my grandfather, it was as local as his backyard.
Ooh, Grandfather Goldsborough. I look forward to it, Gordon. Thank you so much.
We'll talk next week.
No. Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.